Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank Thee, Lord, for Thy faithfulness. I pray, Lord, asking according to that faithfulness one more time this day, that You would awaken our dead bones, Lord, and that Thou would breathe life into us. And, Lord, most of all, that Thou would send Thy love. Send Thy love at this hour, that Thy name would be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I got to say, like the Apostle Paul, I ask you to indulge with me a few moments in my folly. I want to retrace some steps of this week. As Tuesday night came about and the Lord's will was being unfolded before our eyes, I sat there and for me, someone who hasn't watched anything to do with news in probably years, as I sat down and I watched some of the so-called experts, as the night was just young, one of the experts that came on the TV, he came on and he said, you know, the way I believe this night is going, by looking at the exit polls and looking at everything, one of the main things that the people are saying as they're walking out of voting is that the hurricane played a very important role in how the people voted. The hurricane that our sovereign God brought really moved the people to vote one way and their approval of how it was handled. And from that moment, that was early that night, the Lord revealed to me then how it was going. And it was done for me. And I got to say, I began to rebel a little bit. But the Lord showed me at that moment, He's the one who brought the hurricane. And dear ones, He's the one who put the one in the presidency. And as I sat there, and I started to get a little upset, that's when the Lord gave me Romans 13. Took me there to show me my rightful place before Him. And I tell you, as the night went on, the most disturbing thing that happened to me that night was seeing the anger of my children. It wasn't what happened there on TV. It was how they reacted to it. Then we fast forward to the next day, which was Wednesday morning, and we came to school. And all the school was abuzz in the morning of all the words that had been said and all the, let's just call it what it is, the rebellion of God's will. So that's when we decided as a school that day, went through Romans 13. Then later that day, we had an assembly. I didn't know we were going to have an assembly that day, so I didn't plan anything. But the Lord gave me Psalm 39:7. And I stood before the children that day and I told them, I can't understand why the Lord would give me, and now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in Thee. How strange that is. And I told him even stranger was that I had an absolute joy at the time that I was addressing them, which was paradoxical. It just didn't make any sense. The one that I voted for with my will didn't win. So where did the joy come from? As I sat there and I said that to them, one in the room said, yes, I have the same joy. Where does it come from? Where does this hope come from? And that hope is what is said in Psalm 39:7. David says, and now, Lord, what wait I for? What do you wait for today? What did you wait for that morning? Was your hope in the election? Was your hope in what was going to unfold the next day? Was your hope in a recount? A do-over? Then the Lord said, you know, how can I wait? What wait I for? I'll tell you what I wait for. I tell you what my soul waits for. It waits for Galatians 5:22, the fruit of His Spirit. That's where patience comes from. That's where the love of Christ comes from. That's where the faith of Christ comes from. That's where the gentleness of Christ comes from. And it's no different for me today. When I heard later that the pastor was laid upon his heart that we would all speak today, I thought to myself, well, what else do I have to say? But there was one passage that the Lord really impressed upon me. And I knew it that day, but I didn't know the depth of it. And I've been praying over it. And of all places, it comes from Isaiah 9, verse 7. Please turn with me there. For this will be where the bulk of our message comes from. We all know Isaiah 9, 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then today's text says this, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So I set out to praying. I set out to ask the Lord, what does it mean? What does it mean for this body of people? And what does it mean for the child of God? And the beginning of this verse says, of the increase of His government. And we have to talk about what that word means, because in the Hebrew, it is the word empire. And do you know what the definition of empire is? Supreme power in governing. Supreme dominion. And that's where the Lord, it just struck me so vividly and so really. So it was so realistic to me that my eyes have drifted off the wrong government. It's looking at the government of man. And looking at the government of man and looking for the so-called experts and looking at all the exit polls and looking at all the beginning polls, it's hopeless. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is who God has given the government to be upon His shoulder. Do you understand what the power of the shoulder means? It means our Lord governs everything in our life. The child of God's life. The government, the empire, everything that makes up this supreme power in governing comes from our Lord. Has He set up that government in your life? Is that where your peace is today? Because listen, dear ones, it's the increase of this government. Of the increase of this government and peace, there shall be no end. Do you desire peace today? Do you desire peace in the Middle East? Do you desire peace in this country? Or do you desire peace in your soul? For the child of God, as we ended last week, and I didn't understand really at that time why the Lord would give me the end with 2 Timothy 2:4, which said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. And the Lord gave me that because I fulfilled this. I entangled myself with the affairs of this life. That He may please Him who hath chosen Him to be a soldier. What are we a soldier of? Is our life and our government and where we live and the things that are impressed upon us each day, does that mold and make us? Maybe you answer yes to that. Let me tell you something. I've heard a lot of opinions. And that comes from TV and comes from everybody around me. You know what opinions mean? As the pastor said today, here's my opinion. Might not mean much. It's really true. Elijah said this in 1 Kings 18:21. He said, "And Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" You ever asked yourself that question? You listen to the opinions of this world. You listen to the opinions on TV. They're going to tell you how what they believe is going on in this world today. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Because there is an opinion that the Lord gives, and it's the absolute fact and truth. And that one is this: of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. That's in your soul, dear ones. This government may pass, and it will. The government before it passed and went. But the government that Christ has increases in the child of God's life. It's called the growth in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. It's called what the Lord does in growing His tender children up unto Him. It's the Lord putting Himself upon them every day. And the gloriousness of the Word says that the increase, there shall be no end of it. No matter what man's government says to us today, or tomorrow, or in the years to come. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Do you love the shalls and the wills of the Word? Because they're sealed. They're sealed in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. It's no different today than it was last week, or as it will be in the middle of the week. As has been said today, our Lord reigns. I told you last week that when Tuesday left, we would still be struggling with the three enemies against our souls. And I think we all proved that out. And we all struggle with them today. We're going to struggle with them tomorrow. But you know, even in all of that, the Lord increases His government in your soul. And praise be to God that He does. Because as we know, you like statistics? We've had statistics quoted today. How about this one? 100% of us failed Tuesday night. Failed in looking to the government of Christ that has been set up. You know why? Because we're totally dependent upon Him. And when our eyes do drift to look at the things around us, we sink. Oh Lord, undertake for us. Undertake for these weak vessels. Undertake for us, Lord, who grope in the darkness, who hear the rumors, who hear the opinions of man and sometimes start to entertain them as being the gospel. But you know, the gospel's not an opinion. It's something that the Lord gave to His Son. It is His Son. It is the news in your soul today that the increase of Christ in your soul, in His peace and His love, there will be no end of it. And there may be an increase of government around you. There may be an increase of the civil government infringing upon you. But as has also been said today, fear the One. The fear of the Lord. Oh, it's the beginning of our wisdom. It's the beginning of His wisdom. It's the beginning of His knowledge. What is our rightful place? Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Let that sink down in your ears. Let that promise of the Messiah that has been fulfilled, what does it say to your soul? Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You want to know about the power of this government? All power is given unto him by the Creator of all things, by the God, the sovereign God of all things, the sovereign three in one. In all things that we need to hear today, we need to hear that he has all power in heaven and in earth. But what do the saints say about this kingdom? Well, David says this in Psalm 145, beginning in verse 10. He says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Ye are the light and the salt of this earth. What is it the people of God talk about in these perilous times? The kingdom of their Lord. The government of their Lord that has been set up in their souls. And the government of their Lord who is ruling all things. To make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. For the Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. That one spoke to me this week because I was in both of those positions. I've been fallen, and the Lord has brought me to bow down. And in both of those, the Lord has upheld me both times. How gracious and holy the Lord is. Back to our text again. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. You know, that's how the New Testament begins. It begins with a genealogy of Christ. But it begins with the generations of David and of Abraham. There's a reason David's mentioned there, because that is the line of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What a glorious, glorious thing it was, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but left that place to come down here in the filth and depravity of man, and clothe himself with our sin, our flesh, which was not sinful to him. He without sin. But to walk among the filth and the muck and the mire of this world. As you've heard also today, that it doesn't seem like much has changed, has it? It doesn't. We read about what Paul wrote with the Romans. It seems like the same abominable acts of man are going on today. But yet the Lord changes not. But yet the Lord Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and forever. And that's the increase of his kingdom. The increase of the kingdom of Christ in our soul. You want to know what the remedy is for the downcast soul because of our eyes and what they see? It's the increase of his kingdom in our soul. It's the increase of his government in our soul. Lord, show us this day what true government is. What thy true empire is. Lord, may you rule in our souls. To order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. Two words that we don't see a lot of today. I'm talking righteous. Righteous judgment and righteous justice. We don't see it in today's mainstream judiciary, courts, whatever they be. It was a shocking thing to me a few weeks ago when I found out that the night that the person broke into the building up here, and it was very sobering to me that night. But what was also sobering to me is it was the fourth time he got caught for doing the same thing. Man doesn't reform. But the wickedness of man will keep putting him out there. Throw him through a couple of classes, he'll get better. Tell him not to do it again, slap him on the hand, he'll get better. And as has been proven today and has been proven throughout history, man doesn't get any better. They've sought out many inventions. And they keep seeking out many inventions. All to put Christ off his throne. To throw the Lord off of his government. But you know they can't. And the government that Christ has set up, he sets it up in the souls of his children. And you know what? If you're mocked because of the way you voted, listen. The only thing that matters is the Lord voted. We don't know what the end of that is. We don't. But by some way, it's for our good. Some way, and I can't explain that to you today. Some way the Lord meant it for yours and my good. To the glory of His name. We don't know the depth of what that means. We know He is faithful. And as the end of this verse says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus said in John 5:22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son." That's the government that's been set up. All judgment is given into the hands of Christ, and every knee shall bow, and every man shall be judged. As the one has said today, see, that's the beauty of going last. You get to take some of the nuggets that have been out there. "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." We're not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. Oh, the carnality of ourselves does it. We do want reformation. But dear ones, the problem is we want it on our terms. In our time. And we'll be made to lie down in that green pasture when the Lord's rod and staff comfort us. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. See, it is the zeal of the Lord of hosts who will perform this. We heard that last week of how the Lord does all things for his children. Oh, he will undertake for you. He will perform this government in your soul. And he will take your eyes off this world. He will do it. See, I go back to what we were saying earlier when a couple of us were saying, "I don't know what this is. I don't know what this hope or whatever this is." Well, it's the Lord's work. It's so abnormal to how we believe we're going to act. It's abnormal to our thoughts. You know, that always amazes me that his thoughts are so much higher than mine. Not that that amazes me, but when the Lord brings me to understand that, I look at things the way that they fall out in his providence, and I go, Lord, I wouldn't have done it that way. But in his perfect providence and his perfect overruling of man's will, he's got all the hearts of the kings in his hand. He's got all the men subjected to him. And while we continue to doubt that, we need him every hour. We need him every minute. But praise be to him that he has a zeal. Zeal means a desire to accomplish. And I tell you something, if our Lord has a desire to accomplish, it will be done. And it has been done on earth as in it will be or has been in heaven. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I did not want to keep you long today. I know that it's been a long but glorious day. I would like to end today with Paul's exhortation. His exhortation comes at the end of 1 Thessalonians. And it comes to the people there who had many of the problems we have today. Isn't it true how the children of God have the same problems throughout generation after generation? And it always traced back to the depravity of man. But look at verse 14. How Paul ends 1 Thessalonians 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. Now I want you to, if the Lord is pleased now, to come with his power to speak to you at this moment about these words that Paul wrote about the present situation that we are in today, how we are to govern ourselves with one another. We've heard that a lot today. And Lord, constrain us with thy love to do so. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore. Say, whoa, that's a tough one. How do we rejoice today? Because he reigneth. Because for his government there shall be no end. His government of peace, his government of love, his government of power. Pray without ceasing. Now, I hope you don't understand that in a literal sense. We don't walk around praying all day long, nor can we, because of the way we're fearfully and wonderfully made. But what does it tell us? It tells us to be in constant, what's the best word I'm looking for? Soberness. To the absolute what's going on in this world and around us. Where our attacks come from? Who are our attackers? Who are the ones we wrestle with? Pray without ceasing for the Lord to undertake for you. Pray without ceasing for the Lord to put his armor upon you. Pray without ceasing for the Lord to set up his government and to increase his government in your soul. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. How many of you have given thanks for the way it went Tuesday night? Have you been brought there? And if you have, it's because you do believe what he said in Romans 8:28. You do believe what the Lord has done is for your good. As I said, you have to be brought there. Quench not the spirit. which, by the way, this capital S Spirit, he's the one who testifies of Christ. He's the one who teaches us of Christ. This goes back to seeing the wrong government again. This goes back to getting entangled with the worldly things. Quench not the Spirit that teaches us of the true government, who leads us to the feet of Christ for the one thing needful. Oh, dear ones, with your obstinance, with your rebellion, does it do you well to be angry? It's amazing how that question was never answered for Jonah. That book ends before we ever get any reconciliation. But I do believe he was brought to the end of himself, as every child of God is. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Oh, don't despise what the Holy Spirit teaches you. Our pride will. We don't want to submit, and we won't. Praise be to God for the rod and the staff, for the trials, for the afflictions, for the Lord's work in our soul. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. If you remember this morning when we read those words in Romans 13, I believe it was the third verse in Romans 13 that said, I'll get there, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. You realize Paul was saying there that the rulers of our world, they're not a terror to the works, to good works. So the Lord said for his people, and what he said through Paul was, to do that which is pleasing to God. In the natural scope of things, the rulers of this world will not have any say to that. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. How do we know which is good? It comes from Christ. It's the fruit of His Spirit again. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And that means in word, deed, and thought. If you believe it could lead you away from Christ, get away from it. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, set you apart for His holy use. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what else could we ask for one another? What else could we pray for one another? Oh, Lord, preserve thy people. Preserve the whole person. Lord, preserve us to be blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't know when that is. But we do know He'll come as a thief in the night. And you know, that's how He comes to us experientially too. Times like those, we just don't understand. We want to be angry, and the Lord says, no, you're not going to be angry. You're going to submit. That's how you know it's His work. He brings you to the end of yourself. And then through all of this, through all of these exhortations, Paul says, I know it's a lot to say, and I know it's a lot to perform, but be of good cheer, because faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And isn't that interesting how the two passages that we have today, the zeal of the Lord will perform it, and faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Dear ones, it's Him who will increase His government in thy soul. And it's Him who will lift your eyes off this world. And it's He who will mortify this world in the souls of His children. And it's He who will fight for you. and it's He who will undertake for you. May He do that in this hour. May He do that in the hours to come. And may He do it for His glory and His name's sake. Dear Heavenly Father, as we close this day of worship, Lord, may You add Your power to every message. That as we leave here today, Lord, that You would search our souls. That, Lord, You would come to us over and over throughout the week to gird us in Thy strength, bring to remembrance those things, Lord, that glorify Thy name that have been said this day. Oh, Lord, may Your name be glorified in all the earth. And, Lord, may You increase Your government in the souls of Thy dear children this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.